You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. I think I should start a record button. Anyway, so there are countless miracles throughout the Bible that served different purposes in the era that they occurred. Deuteronomy 10:21 says that He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Right? So that is according to the book of Deuteronomy. And yes, Pastor Basil Nyega is joining us once again. Maybe he'll join me in my new band that I want to start. Good morning, Fundis. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
I think it's going to be a miracle. Yeah, when it's a miracle.
I see.
Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right, shall we pray? Our Father, our God in heaven above, we praise, we glorify your name, and we never tire to do that. We come before your throne of mercy this morning, thanking you for the gift of life, for the miracle of life, in fact. As we begin the session, we invite your presence in our midst. May you speak to us, and may we even hear more about you, and may our relationship even with you be made perfect and be better than what it has been. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, we're speaking about the three greatest biblical miracles. So which ones are those that you would say one of these ones that the greatest, if you have to get into a discussion with someone and you want to sound very smart during your lunchtime, tell them about these three biblical miracles that, you know, that will leave them blown away.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Now, I tried to look up and say which three can be said to be the greatest miracles. I'm still feeling even up until now. But for me, maybe I'll start and say, since miracles are all about God and God showing off and God showing who He is, I think the first one for me will be whereby God comes and He manifests Himself in this here earth and He starts to write on stones, taking even from Deuteronomy 10 that you read, to say, when you look back and you look at the precedence that's behind there, you find that the Israelites had gone astray and God was now bringing back, restoring the tablets of stone that had been broken. So I think God writing with His own hand is something that is so miraculous and so profound. And I wonder to say, how did the Israelites even sing when they had such a witness of God's own handwriting in front of them, having the evidence of what God is asking of them? So yeah, I think number one for me might be God writing on the tables of stone. Then, of course, there's the issue whereby we as Christians, we are personified to be spiritual Israel, where we have the literal Israel that lived back then, but now we who are now Christians in this day and era are now spiritual Israel. So many a times you look in the Bible, what would happen to literal Israel also gets to happen to spiritual Israel.
Okay.
You look even at the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It is said to be a microcosm of the macrocosm, or a miniature of that which is going to befall the world at the end or at the close of the age. So the second for me will be the rescue by the Red Sea, where God comes and He passed the water and they walk on dry ground. Yeah, for me, that's number two. Then maybe number three, still dwelling on spiritual and literal Israel, we find literal Israel is there in the wilderness. And as they are in the wilderness, because of the way they would carry themselves, they seen the air in front of God. And then God tells Moses to make a statue, an image made of iron of glass. And He makes a serpent, and they look at the serpent and they live. Look and live, as the song says.
Yes.
So looking at literal Israel, they were saved by looking at the serpent. Then you go also to John 3. You go to verse 15, many times you love verse 16. But going backwards on verse 14 now, going back to 16, it then says, just as the serpent was raised in the wilderness, and they looked unto it and they lived, we also, spiritual Israel, when we look unto Jesus, we then find life. So that, for me, is the third and most powerful miracle, in that by looking unto Jesus, that's where we find our salvation. By looking unto Jesus, we find our rescue and life. Was one, and above all, if you look unto Jesus, we have life even eternal.
I was waiting for you to say the resurrection of Jesus.
Okay.
I think that for me, that falls in the top three miracles ever, because it defied logic, it defied science,
okay.
It defied everything that a person who was dead 3 days, but the day you start, you know, your skin starts peeling, you just by thinking about it.
But you have Lazarus now, he has 4 days.
Yes, even him as well. So I thought maybe you'll include that one, but it's okay. You know, we all have our own different ones today. So looking at, you know, these miracles, my pastor, these ones that you have mentioned, and even the other ones that we have might not have mentioned, you know,
there's a number of them.
Yeah. How they have they impacted humanity? If they did not happen, would we be the way we are? Or it's fine, it's just part of history. It didn't have any impact on humanity at all.
It definitely had a lot of impact, especially to us in the Christian circles. You find that without these things, we cease, our beliefs, they cease to be, you know, they cease to hold waters. Without them, that's why I went to the commandments. You say without the miracle of the commandments, God is, you know, scribbling with his own hand. You can imagine a world where we don't have any law and order. Even the nations, some might not want to subscribe to God's law, but one way or the other, they come back to the issue of subscribing to the law. So you find the things that happened in the past, in the African culture, I like it mostly, whereby we say as a people, what happened in the past has a huge impact on us as human beings. And in my culture, we have a saying, whereby in the levels of other family.
Yeah.
To say for us to be able to walk forward, we need to go back.
Mm-hmm.
For us to be able to soldier on going forward, we need to go back. And the things that have been done back then, they make all these other things even possible for us, which is why I was talking even about the serpent and the cross. To say, with what Jesus did and the miracle that you talked about of Jesus being raised from the dead, it gives us this great hope, this great assurance, that no matter how things might be, there's still some hope for us. And with them being done, it gives us this confidence to say, if they did it, we can did it too, like somebody once said.
Okay. So looking at those ones, Bundiswami, are there lessons to be learned from these miracles? As much as we understand that miracles, for example, there are things that just happen. We don't necessarily have to pray for them, but we do pray for them, you know. But are there lessons that we can learn from the biblical ones that happened? For me, maybe I would say, for example, the issue of that man with the one that was blind, you know. For me, it's a matter of having trust in the Lord. But besides him, the other miracles that are there, what can we learn?
Ultimately, looking at the definition, I always come back to the definition to say miracles show who God is. And at the end of the day, when miracles happen, when you look at the miracles, they are supposed to strengthen our relationships. Mm. It's like testimonies. Let's take, for example, testimonies. We have lost supper and people stand up and they start giving testimonies to say, brethren, in such and such a day, this and this happened. Those testimonies are not just to glorify them or to show their walk with God, but they're also supposed to strengthen us as the hearers, as the believers, to say, oh, so this is what happened. God was able to come through for this person in such a way, which means he can also come through for me in a similar way or even in a better way. Of course, his way is like a footsteps in the sea, whereby we can't trace them to say this is where he stepped or this is how he does his things. But when he does something, it's supposed to give me strength and assurance also as an individual to say God is able, God is capable. Because ultimately, when you look at the miracles, one of the major reasons why God will perform miracles is to draw people closer to him. And as people draw closer to him, they see him and they say, oh, holy is God.
Yeah.
They are marveling at the might, at the power, at the awe of God to say, oh, so this is God. And he is capable, he is able, he is extraordinary. You know, I feel like preaching.
Preach, Mfundis, preach is a safe space.
But ultimately for me, I think I would say the miracles that happened They are supposed to make us have confidence in God. They are supposed to make us have confidence in waking up even the next day and, you know, discarding the anxieties that you are now facing, the panic attacks, the traumas that you are having as human beings. And it said, this generation that we are now in, we have a lot. Umjolo, the pandemic is hammering us left, right, and center. We have fees, we have rents, we have all these things that are happening. So miracles are supposed to then come in and give us an assurance that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. For me, ultimately, I think that's the main goal, to say there is a light. Why? Because there is a God who is able, who does the impossible.
Mm. So, coming to my all-time favorite miracle, Mpundiswami, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what can we learn there? As much as we understand the whole issue of salvation, you know, the blood and everything else, but if a person could get a simple lesson, Uguti, this one died, ne? He died, and he rose again. What can we learn from that miracle? I think there are a lot, as I think about it now.
I'm tempted to tend to be the worst in asking. If I make one, I can say is looking at the resurrection, like you said, is something that's unheard of. That somebody died, spent some nights in the grave, and their skin is now exfoliating and all these things, and then they come back to life. Not only do they come back to life, I like to believe that he was even better than what he was before. So for me, I think some of the simple lessons that we can get is there is a second chance.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's one of the simplest questions, because many a times you find that the devil comes to remind us of the things that we've done, where we've gone wrong, where we've erred. And as a result, as a people, we fail to move forward. We fail to accomplish a number of things simply because we are still holding back to the past. We are still holding back to say, you know what, he comes and he reminds you, says, my guy, you're trying to do this, you forgot that yesterday.
We are losing you.
So I think for me, it's an issue of second chances. You had a life, still there can be a second chance. That's the simplest explanation I can come up with on the top of my head. Second chances, yeah.
I think another one for me, Mpundiswami, when we are there on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when I'm looking at it, in a sense that the other lessons that were there besides the fact that there is a second chance is have people that have got your back. You know, those ladies, they were there. They whipped for him. They stood. They were there when he was hanging there on the cross alone. They were there looking for what is to happen up until he was taken away, right? And then they were the first ones, in fact, to actually go to the grave where they were like, he has risen. He is not here. Meaning that have people that care for you, you know, even when you are not there, have those people care for you. So for me, it showed us a number of things that, we need to look for in life, even though sometimes we can move away from his own things that happened with Christ himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's powerful. I hadn't seen it in that light. Yeah, that's really powerful.
You see, now it's good. It's good sometimes. Yeah, it's good sometimes. You know, to ask the presenter. You know.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I think overall, Pastor, you know, looking at the miracles, most of them in the Bible, for me, it's the overall lesson that I can come up with that comes to me. It's trust in God, because all of them, they were a matter of trusting in God. Speak about Mary, the mother of Jesus. It was a matter of trusting God, that God cannot give you something that you cannot handle. Speak about we're speaking about the resurrection, right? Speaking about the man who was blind, it was also a matter of trust in God. Speaking about the woman in the well, it was a matter of trusting in God. Like all of these things that like, all of these people, they trusted that, you know what, this Jesus can do it for me.
Exactly, yes.
I can preach now, Mpundisi, so it's okay. We can close the show.
I'm a believer. I think we can have the baptism of Mpundisi. I'll be your first candidate. But yeah, let's pretty good. Like, there are a lot of lessons that we can draw from miracles.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's coming back to God to say, in this journey of life, there is a God.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you're saying miracles are an act of a supernatural being, a deity, but a divine being ultimately, and that's none other than God.
Mm.
So miracles go to show that God is real.
Mm. Yeah, that is true. Mm. Thank you, Mpundisi Swami. Any closing remarks there, so that, and also do pray for us so that whenever miracles happen, we shouldn't just be excited that, you know what, God has actually blessed with me this and stuff like that, but we should actually find lessons that we can learn there. So any closing remarks from you?
Not much to say, but I think ultimately maybe we can close by saying, let's see God in all the things that are out there. Many a times the problem when we think of miracles, we think about those big things, those extraordinary things. But there are some small things that we encounter day in, day out, and we might take for granted and not notice that it was actually God and that it actually was a miracle. So let's see God in the big and in the small, but above all, let's give him his place. Who is a God that is supposed to be praised, to be worshipped, and to be adored. Let's have a word of prayer.
Yes, sir.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for this discussion that we've had. Father God, we can never exhaust your word. We can never exhaust the miracles that you did. Even your word to the Bible says the works that you did, if they were to be recorded, the earth won't be enough to store the things that you did. It goes to show how much of a great and a marvelous God that you are. As we live day in, day out, we encounter many miracles. Help us to see them, but above all, help us to praise and glorify your name. And just like my sister has also said, help us, Father God, to draw the lessons that we're supposed even to get from those miracles. Give us a listening heart. Give us even a discerning heart. As we continue with the day, I commit each and every individual that is listening to this message. May you bless them. May you meet them even at their points of needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen and amen. And Mpundisi, thank you so much for joining us. Have yourself a blessed, blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.